Well, we've returned to a place that I feel like many people would probably prefer us not to return to. The world of anime. Specifically Star Wars anime.
Specifically.
It's, you know, it's not a place we necessarily want to go back to, but here we are. Star Wars Visions Volume 3. The Anime Chronicles.
Normally we're a little more hyped for it, but,
Well, we were going in. We were excited going in.
Emphasis on the past tense of war.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah.
Star Wars. Transformers. Godzilla. Animation. Whatever else. Robots, and etc.
How do you open up just weird, disparate anime shorts?
With the best news ever of this year, Cameron.
Which is?
We have to formally move to our news section before I can drop this, Cameron.
Well, then I need to. Then I should.
Have you been on the internet at all within the last 24 hours?
I guess not. So
you haven't seen all of my reposts on Instagram.
It's Starformers night. Welcome to Rebels and Robots and etc. Episode 90. Man, we're getting old.
I thought it was episode 89.
No, last time was 89. I thought so. Hold on. Yes. No, I'm right. I'm right, as always.
You're right.
episode 89, I'm Cameron. No, episode 90, you messed me up. Episode 90, I'm Cameron.
I'm Rachel.
And this is our, supposed to be bi-weekly chat. We're averaging out to bi-weekly. I looked, we did 3 episodes in July, 1 episode in August.
We really have that many in July.
3 episodes in September.
We had to cram in so much dress.
We should have 2 episodes in August, but I forgot to publish an episode. It's averaging out to 3 episodes a month.
Forgot about that.
Then 1 episode in October, and now we'll have 2 episodes in November. There's our weekly, bi-weekly chat about Star Wars and
Transformers
and whatever else we both want to talk about.
Our editor.
Today we'll be talking about Star Wars Visions Volume 3, which, if you don't know, Star Wars Visions is a collection of
an anthology.
Animation shorts that start pretty much, Lucasfilm just hires out animation studios from all over the world to do whatever they want. Seemingly no real restrictions as far as like, they're not at all canonical. So they're not trying to be canonical. They will sometimes play around with pre-existing characters, but normally it will be really indiscernible, like even when they're taking place in the Star Wars universe. And we'll talk about this one, I think, that kind of played around really interestingly with the timeline.
We're only talking about 1 through 5, though.
Yeah, so there's 9. So the first one was all anime. The second one, Star Wars Visions Seasons, was international, all sorts of animation styles and countries of origin. This one is back to all anime. But still a good variety of styles there within. They're all very obviously anime, but
more sequels.
Yes, they continue some stories that were started in Star Wars Visions Volume 1. That's what we'll get to. But as mentioned a moment ago, Rachel has some sort of exciting news that I somehow missed. So what's the deal? I think I just remember what it is. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Last night, Toho... Formally, why are you laughing at me?
If it's what I think it is, it's not that big of a deal. But please continue. Don't let me squash your enthusiasm, even though I clearly am trying.
Toho has formally announced Godzilla Minus One sequel.
Yeah, we knew this already. They announced the title.
We had not talked about it.
What I'm saying is they told us, I don't mean to squash your enthusiasm, I'm sorry, but you built it up so much that I thought it must have been something else.
So they had kept being like, whatever, sequel. It's formally confirmed with directors and writers.
Yes, and a title, which is Minus Zero, right?
Yes. But that had not been confirmed.
No story details, right? Did they give any story? So there's just, I just feel like there's not anything, like it's the same director, right?
Yes.
So I feel like they've confirmed it, but they said this like, 6 months ago or like 8 months ago. I feel like I'm being mean to you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying.
What if I start crying right now?
You launched. It felt like something big.
It is exciting. Because it's, look, here's the thing. Screen Rant articles about sequels don't count. When they're like, sequel, it doesn't count. But when the actual brand announces something with formal writers and producers, that means something.
I mean, but
we're not talking about Disney. We're talking about Toho.
All this tells us is that we are definitely getting it.
Yes.
And it was so successful. I never doubted this.
20 new posts in the last 12.
And so there's just nothing additional to talk about. Like, here it comes. Cool. We love Godzilla Minus One. I have not rewatched it. I'm not realizing. Has it been 2 years?
Yes.
That's crazy. Not quite. But it was December 2023 when it came out. That it feels like not long, since it feels like a year ago. I have not gotten around to rewatching it.
I have it on DVD.
I have never seen it again. I would definitely love to rewatch it.
Well, I guess we'll get a chance.
We don't need to. Well, I've been wanting to do it with Allison because Allison never saw it.
Well, guess who owns it on DVD?
But I don't have news, but I have a thought. Do you have any other news?
Yeah, I have two. I guess three. Do you know what else I own on DVD now?
What? Oh, right there in front of us. Yes. Shin Godzilla.
I own the collector's.
It's a very nice. It's like a
steelbook edition.
Steelbook.
Of Shin Godzilla.
She's a steelbook girly.
6 months earlier than I expected.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you saw my text, but I pre-ordered this thing 2 months ago.
Oh, nice.
It comes with a lot of bonus features, promotional video collection, the making, deleted scenes, outtakes, newsreels, real collection, special effects, like, so that it has English and Japanese. It's already sold out. I pre-ordered it, and it's already, like, just completely sold out. But, yes, produced by Ghibli Kids. that's what I would do. So, anyways, but the story is I was expecting new plant lights because I had to move all my plants inside. So I come home to a box from Amazon and I said, oh, yes, my plant lights. And I open it up and it is just this Shin Godzilla steelbook 6 months in advance from the pre-order date.
Uh-huh.
And so I was quite confused trying to figure out why this had arrived at my door before April 26th of 2026 instead of my plant lights.
I see. That's funny. So interesting thing I'm reading here now, this is totally unrelated. So a quote, so Leslie Headlin was the writer and creator of Star Wars, The Acolyte. A quote from her that is in the art of The Acolyte book that recently came out.
I know what you're talking about.
Talking about Chimere. A.K.A. Darth Teethies. It was in the design of the character, as well as knowing we were going to introduce Darth Plagueis, who has to end up with Palpatine as his apprentice, following the rule of two, a precept that limited the Sith to just two at any given time, a master and apprentice. One way to keep it going is if the stranger is the first Knight of Ren, part of a Sith-adjacent cult that we know eventually survives.
Which would have been really cool if we got that story.
Yes. So that makes a ton of sense, though, with his helmet.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
all makes sense. The idea of having these people who are being trained in the dark side of the Jedi who are not themselves Sith. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense.
And they're not Inquisitors either.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it kind of goes to show of, I think they focused on the wrong thing. In the hopes, you know, I think it's an unfortunate potential consequence to hold all of your cards for a second season that's never guaranteed. And then when it's canceled, be like, oh, well, we were going to do this.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot recently because so many shows do this. And it's hard because on the one hand, if your show does keep going, you want to have stuff for it. But no, it was definitely, I mean, we've talked about this to death. It was a terrible, like, it, one, should it have even been a show? Would have been a phenomenal movie. Because what they did would have been fine for a movie, probably.
But the slow parts were.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that's fascinating. That would have been good. It's kind of like that classic tweet of, like, shortly after Episode 9 came out. I think it was an official Star Wars account, or someone tweeted something like, did you know that the all of the Sith troopers from Episode 9 were raised by people on that planet, whatever. What's the name of that planet that Palpatine was on?
Exegol.
And someone quoted it and retweeted and said, no, how could we have possibly have known that? They never said it in the movie. that is consistently the problem with new Star Wars is what lore used to be was a way to flesh out an already fully contained story, and it just made it better. But what has now occurred with a lot of Disney Star Wars stuff, which I generally like, but generally also is lacking, especially when you get to a movie that's an absolute disaster, such as, what's it called? Not The Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker. Thank you. Could not remember the title. Is so lacking in detail. Is so bare bones. We don't know anything that's going on. Anyways.
And honestly, like, it makes me think of, I'm going to talk about Skeleton Crew. Well, just as an example, honestly, it's a pretty cut and dry story. Athena disagreed. I heard her comment. You know, kids get into space, meet rapscallion, get taken prisoner, come back home. Like, those kids' stories is pretty much said and done. I think you have questions, but it's not necessary that they get answered. For example, we don't have to know about these banking planets, but if they want to, they can. Sure. It's not necessary to know that Jod Nanawood got punked by a couple 10-year-olds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. do you have any other news?
Yeah.
What else you got?
So, Godzilla Fest has been going on.
Oh, interesting.
Toho keeps talking about their 70 years of Godzilla that they have been celebrating for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
From 2023 to 2025. And they're finally like, Godzilla, you know, 70th anniversary is finally over. It's like, you guys have been here for 2 years. but there's, it's called FES Godzilla, FES Godzilla. And it's a series of short special effects films produced for the annual Godzilla Fest. They are going to be available on, that was my cup. That was my can. I'm so sorry. I didn't expect it to make that noise.
I thought it was your cat flipping out.
No. There is going to be a little Blu-ray collection, but it's films from this little short, from this short series. And apparently it's just kind of an annual I think it's kind of similar to Visions.
Okay.
It's a similar situation where it's just fun little shorts for Godzilla. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of cute. I was like, oh, more Godzilla content. Really, the other news that I think I grabbed this a month ago and then we didn't podcast for a month. One of the Star Wars Visions episodes, I don't think we've seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Sukumo. Visions, Sukumo, I don't think we've seen it yet unless we watched it and forgot about it, which is also entirely possible, is getting a manga. So that's just almost in the realm of Star Wars shows getting books, but it's getting a manga.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Then this is what we talked about is we talked about some of the shorts we watched kind of have cliffhangers. And a lot of them often do because they're shorts and they're just kind of telling a snippet, but it did feel like some of them, you said, well, they're really banking on there being a Star Wars Visions volume 3 or 4. And I said, well, they might continue them as manga, which is, there's an example. Sorry, I'm looking at our analytics right now and it's saying that we had 735 downloads in August.
Thanks, Mom.
Which is like, I'm trying to figure out where the lie is.
Thanks to my mom and our friend Caleb.
It's saying that we only 9% of our current downloads are bots, which is down, which is way down.
But Cameron, is that not part of our audience? Are we not rebels?
I mean, it's in the name. It is in the name. So I'm trying to figure out. I know our listeners love when we do analytics talk.
This is probably why the ratings drop.
Speaking of which, Bryson recently told me that he was listening to the episode where we just dumped too many treats down for our editor. That keeps her focused.
Yeah.
Bryson was listening to the episode from last year when we looked over our like podcast Wrapped from Spotify for the year. And it was listing off the podcast that our other listeners listened to. And I don't remember which one it was he said, but he's like, oh, I'm the one who listens to that one. Yeah. So we're slowly putting together that picture. I'm still trying to forget. So RSS has shifted how their analytics page operates. And I'm trying to figure out. Here we go. Sort by most downloaded. So I'm trying to figure out where these hundreds of downloads are supposedly occurring. Because we don't have any episodes with hundreds of downloads. So where it's claiming, and it's not like there's been a huge, okay, how many episodes do we have?
So
we only have, oh, duh,
Cameron,
duh,
we have
an 90. Idiot. I'm an idiot. That was a brain fart. If someone went through and downloaded every single one of our episodes, that would only be 90 downloads. So how can we have 735 downloads? I wonder if, yeah, it's really, really bizarre. I don't know where that's coming from. Seeing it, yeah. I don't know. I don't have any explanation for this. Because then it goes right back down to still decently high for us, but down to 153 for September. So that's closer to average for us. It's really thrown off our chart because it's like got this huge bump in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, trying to figure out
bots
if I can see
need to
anything.
Stop screwing up our analytics.
There's, I think we talked about this previously, but 39 downloads from your hometown.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah. For some reason, 27 downloads from Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's bizarre.
That's not my hometown.
No, that's not. I'm not doxing Rachel as a Brazilian. Anyways, what other news?
That's it.
Okay, so I have an observation. I had an original observation about Star Wars. I've never heard this, and it's small. It's not like this huge, like, groundbreaking observation, but I've never thought about this before. So I was trying to fall asleep, and I was listening to The Light of the Force, which is the second-to-last track from Return of the Jedi, when Luke is having he's having a barbecue, a Vader barbecue. And then it transitions.
As one does.
And, like, as the song ends, like, it's when, like, the camera pans up, and then it goes over to the Ewok celebration. And that, in thinking about that scene, I was like, oh, there's no dialogue in that scene. And then it made me think about the other two original trilogy movies. They also end with no dialogue. The final scene, the throne room scene, the scene of Luke getting his hand fixed. Well, I guess he does talk to Han or Lando.
But the last shot, it's
a long shot. Mm-hmm. It's not just a quick shot, like of them looking at, it's him and Leia looking out of the window, and then it shows the entire Rebel Armada, and they're flying off. No dialogue. The whole Ewok dancing or celebration scene, no dialogue of everyone. Then I realized most of the Star Wars, the main saga, the nine movies, the only two that don't do it are arguably the two worst ones. Phantom Menace and Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Because Phantom Menace, no, never mind, I realized I got this wrong. I was talking about Phantom Menace also ends, okay, it's kind of nitpicky.
Peace!
Boss Nass says one word.
I need you to know, I play a lot of Civilization with my friends, and we declare a lot of war. So every time peace is declared, the five or six of us do really bad. Like, it's just throughout the whole Discord chat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun thing that we've kept alive.
But Attack of the Clones ends with the wedding that has no dialogue. Revenge of the Sith ends with a montage of where kind of everyone ends up at the end.
True, but isn't the last scene of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru with baby Luke and there's no dialogue?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a montage.
Oh,
the whole
okay.
montage has no dialogue.
True.
It's Bail going back to blow up planet. That
is it so bad? I said Organa.
Yeah,
Alderaan.
Yeah, Oregon. It's pretty much Oregon.
Oregano.
And Yoda goes and lives in his hut on a. It's really bizarre. That's where he chooses to go.
Your unemployed friend goes home from the function.
Oh, jeez. And then, so I mean, it really emphasizes the choice of how they ended. Dang it, what's it called? The Force Awakens. To have that final scene of Rey taking the lightsaber and finding Luke, to have no dialogue. It's like, I've just not realized that it is now this tradition of in having a final scene with no dialogue.
It's kind of the same with Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
The kid.
You're having me have to remember how these movies
ended. Last Jedi ends with the slave kid.
Pulling the broom.
Yeah.
Him.
No dialogue there.
How does...
Rise of Skywalker ends with
Rey
is a very dialogue heavy ending. And then there's the final shot is dialogue free, but I don't think just a final shot should count. It's like, is there intentional silence?
Imagine,
and there's not in Rise of Skywalker.
Imagine if that old lady asked, "Who are you?" and then they cut before she answered.
That would be a very, I think, even worse way to end episode 9. A lot of people should have said she still says just Rey. I think that would be a lot better.
Well, I think not that we're going to pivot, but we're going to pivot. even if people complain, you just got to double down like George Lucas did. People complain. He went, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I want.
oh, you don't like Anakin? Well, guess what?
He's the main character.
Oh, you don't like that this 9-year-old boy is about to have a relationship with a 14-year-old? Well, guess what?
I don't like that.
No, but he didn't double down on Jar Jar.
No,
he did way backtrack on Jar Jar.
But it's one of those things where there is this big buildup of getting away from, like, name dynasties.
Yeah.
Rey is a no one. Yep. Finn, mm-hmm. arguably, a no one. He just doesn't. The whole Stormtroopers, First Order, sorry.
Yeah. They're still Stormtroopers.
They've been kidnapped. They don't know who they are. So you do have this really interesting thing to build on, but then to kind of cycle back and go, oh, yeah, actually tied to one of the biggest names. It's just...
Yep.
It's wasted potential.
Oh, you don't like Ewoks and C-3PO and R2? How about it's the only thing I do between episode 6 and 1? like that, the two cartoons. And live action. Two live action movies. Do you know this? Are you aware of the two... live action, like, VHS movies that are Ewok movies?
I've heard of them.
That is literally, like, the two things that fans, like, I don't know if this is common knowledge. At the time, like, quote-unquote adult fans hated R2 and 3PO. And you got a cartoon of them, just them. And
George said, and you know what?
These are my favorite guys.
He said, Star Wars is for kids.
That was a rude gesture she just did. Anyways,
I was emulating George Lucas in things.
Hard pivot. You could totally do a good George Lucas costume. You kind of have this history of dressing up as men for Halloween. You could do George Lucas one year.
I should do George
Lucas. That'd be really funny.
Did I tell you I went to a Star Wars themed party where someone showed up as George Lucas?
Oh, that's right.
I was crying. It was so funny.
It was really good.
And it was so good. Maybe I'll do that. I'll do that next time.
You need like someone else to dress up as like a Star Wars character or something for it to make sense.
I just put a name tag.
Yeah.
Tape a piece of paper to my shirt.
Uh-huh. Just a briefcase full of money and toy rights.
Disney money.
Anyways, hard pivot. Star Wars Visions Volume 3, the first short, The Duel, colon, Payback. So it's a follow-up from the first one. Black and white, very much trying to be in the style of like an old black and white samurai movie.
The Duel, the squeakquel.
So I don't really remember. Yeah, great. This is pretty cool. Can you a couple sentences recap what happened in the first one? Because I honestly don't really remember.
So it follows Ronan, who is a former Inquisitor turned Sith Hunter. Or he's a former Sith turned Sith Hunter. It's post Order 66. And his goal is to hunt down Sith, but he's an ex-Sith. And so he comes to a village, kills a lady Sith. That's kind of it. And he has a fun little R2 droid, or R5 droid with a hat.
Okay, so before I forget, we're going to jump ahead, because I have a question about this. So in this, he is hunting down, quote-unquote, Sith, whatever that means. In this context, he gets attacked by a quote unquote Jedi called the Grand Master.
Mm-hmm.
But he's accompanied by like Republic ships. So is he an Inquisitor? Because if it's post Order 66, how would a Jedi have access to Republic resources?
Or maybe it's like post Return of the Jedi.
But see, it's but that that's see that's what
that I that is a good question.
The technology seems to be somewhat disjointed, which I'm totally fine with. But if indeed this does take place in a specific time period, we see Imperial walkers. So that means it has to be post Episode 3. But the Jedi, if he is even a Jedi, which that's a whole element of he kind of turns evil. Who exactly is he and who's he working for? Because he drives a modified Jedi starfighter from the Republic era, and he's accompanied by clone dropships. But does he then send stormtroopers in? I'm trying to remember. Were they stormtroopers that he used to attack our heroes towards the end?
I think it was very First Order. I'm on Reddit. And there was a tie-in novel, and the tie-in novel synopsis, so it's like an alternate universe, apparently. It suggests that in this world that Ronan's in, Jedi served the Empire like samurai serving various feudal lords, and the Sith broke away from them because they got sick of fighting each other and formed their own thing. This person says it's completely off the map.
That makes more sense. Yeah, but see, that's okay. With the way the technology was so disjointed,
mm-hmm.
I thought as that it felt like it was kind of combining imagery.
Oh, so here's the full synopsis.
Okay, so just to quickly gather up evidence. The troopers he sends in look like nothing we've ever seen before. They have these like straw helmets. They don't look like stormtroopers or clone troopers. Anyways, continue.
His droid has a straw helmet. Oh, no, you're talking about the Grandmaster.
These guys.
Yes, you're correct.
So okay. They're neither. That's why I couldn't remember
this
them.
This is the synopsis of the novel that took place immediately after the first short.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The Jedi are the most loyal servants of the Empire. 2 decades ago, Jedi clans clashed in service to feuding lords. Sickened by this endless cycle, a sect of Jedi rebelled, seeking to control their own destiny and claim power in service of no master. They called themselves Sith. The Sith Rebellion failed, succumbing to infighting and betrayal, and the once rival lords unified to create an empire, but even an empire at peace is not free from violence.
There you go.
They're just doing whatever they want.
So it's a parallel universe where the Jedi serve the Empire. And this is very much playing with what is a Jedi, what is a Sith? Like, just because you have a certain color lightsaber, just because you claim a certain name, are you... Now, this makes the argument that you need both the dark and the light side, which, from what I understand, is very antithetical to Lucas believed.
Are these considered gray Jedi because the episode is in black and white?
But also, you could say that the way... The question is, what actually fulfills the prophecy? In the prequels, does Anakin fulfill the prophecy by bringing quote unquote balance by there being 2 Jedi and 2 Sith at the end of Episode 3? Or does he bring balance by destroying Palpatine at the end of Episode 6? That's the question. It's unclear. It does seem like the dark side, the question, I guess the biggest question is, is the Force one thing that humans access different parts of it, or is the light side and the dark side at war with each other? Are they two different sides that despise each other?
Well, I mean, I feel like the ending of Payback shows that maybe there isn't really a distinct moral difference between them.
So I guess the question is, one, what did George Lucas intend? What does the greater lore say? And I'm sure these are answered somewhere. But by just looking at just the main media.
Oh, just the main media.
It would seem as though the dark side is inherently evil. Like, George Lucas did paint in very broad black and white brushes.
They're bad because they're red.
But it also did, like, the only person who ever says you need to embrace every part of the Force is Palpatine trying to convince Anakin to turn evil. And it seemed like the whole idea is, like, anyone who ever is on the dark side eventually ends up mangled and scarred, and the dark side drains life.
There is some aspect of that in other forms of Star Wars. Semi-canon in Star Wars The Old Republic in the
MMORPG?
Yes, thank you. if you continuously make pro-Empire choices or evil choices, the appearance of your character changes.
Yeah. So I think at least the classic reading of these things is the dark side is definitively evil and is a bad thing.
The head.
But it also always comes back. So I think that's the biggest, and that's obviously an element of they just keep making more. But we see it across even the largest timeline, from the Old Republic to things far after Episode 6. The evil always comes back, so it's impossible to get rid of. So there's always going to be a flow back and forth of which one is more dominant. Mm-hmm. But it's even also what Snoke said. That powerful light, powerful dark. They're going to always rise to meet each other.
You mean Kino Loy.
Yeah. So all this to say, this story is very much arguing about the differences between the Jedi and the Sith and what that means, pretty much. But also, it's also about not allowing one's desire to, quote-unquote, destroy evil, forcing you to become evil yourself. Now, while, yes, we have a character say you need the light and the dark side, that same character has become himself a Sith hunter. He's not advocating for the Sith. He's destroying Sith. He still has a red lightsaber, but he himself is being hunted by a Jedi that he, while he was a Sith, horribly mangled. And that Jedi has allowed his quest for revenge. He's pretty much Vader.
I was going to say, it's a quest for revenge.
Mm-hmm. And that's not Jedi. But he's no longer a Jedi. Even though he claims to be a one, his journey for revenge has resulted in him totally undoing his Jedi code. And so, to kind of return back to the narrative of this, so the Ronin is hunting down a Sith. While he's doing that, the Grandmaster, this Jedi, finds him at a casino house that has two AT-ATs attached together.
That's pretty cool.
They all kind of end up separated. They lock down the planet, and the Ronin and the other Sith lady, do we know her name?
Nope.
Let's see.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Let's see if we've got
her. There are Ewoks in this episode.
Annie Sand. So she is a Twi'lek, right? Twi'lek Sith?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And they team up with the owner of the casino, who's an Enzelin, who rides around in a mouse droid that translates for him with a really
so
gruff
good.
Old voice.
So good. That was the best part of the episode, I think.
It's really fun. There's Ewoks, which, like, made me realize, like, how little, like, serious Ewok stuff we have gotten. Like, we've even got, like, other Jawas.
Because we got so much of it.
I think they do a great job. The Ewoks are actually probably my favorite part. So they end up securing kind of a fortress, and the Grandmaster and his soldiers attack, and
they're setting a trap.
People have oftentimes joked about the Ewoks being the Viet Cong, but they really go for that imagery
really
here.
Went for it.
The best one being, I thought I wrote this down. Hold on. Let's see. I did not. They trip some soldiers on a bridge, and then the Ewoks are just under the bridge, and they just start stabbing through the slats in the wood. It's dark, man. The Twi'lek, when she goes to confront the Jedi Master, has an arm that extends into like 30 little lightsaber blades. It's very anime, and honestly, I thought it was really fun. I am pretty much always a fan of creative lightsabers, of just all the different ways you can have a lightsaber. I'm always down for it. And the final battle thing is really good. The big moment here is that the Ronin slashes the Grandmaster in the eyes and causes him to...
Kanan did it first.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All did it to Kanan first.
Lose his vision, and when his vision does kind of come back, he can't see color, and there's a red and a blue lightsaber in front of him, and he's yelling about how he's a Jedi, but he grabs the red lightsaber mm-hmm. and is then destroyed. He is a very anime character in that he has a prosthetic face that is stuck in a single... His face is stuck in a single facial expression, which is just a smirk, which is very anime. I think it's very aesthetically pleasing. Though I will say my main critique of this episode is I think that sometimes it trying to look like an old movie, it has grain, it's black and white, sometimes contrasts with the very obviously high-res 3D movement. I don't think that they've... I think they could do a little more to make it look either like old anime or an old film. It sometimes is just a little too clean looking, and I guess I don't like when the black and white and the grain looks like a filter rather than it was actually shot that way.
Yeah.
So I think there are times like the characters oftentimes look great, though what is not great, I think, is what will happen is when they're in movement, it's kind of like they've tried to make it look like they've kind of hand-drawn every frame so that, like, there's a lot of, like, scribbles on the characters. But the moment they stop moving, all that scribbliness stops as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, the characters are very alive when they're moving. Like, there's, like noise and, like, scribbles all over them. But then a character in, the foreground, the background stops moving. And they just become a still image altogether. And I think that's a huge mistake because it makes everything feel very fake.
They have not mastered the moving pattern background
chowder. Yes, exactly. So
I still think about how they managed that. I think about that. That, you know, I think a lot about animation techniques, and that show continues to elude me. It's probably easier than I'm thinking, but that one very specific, and I'm like, man, how they
masking. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So that's my main things. I think do you have any other notes? I was going to have one final thought about it.
No.
The idea of this Jedi who is so self-righteous, and it's a very obvious metaphor at the end when he grabs the lightsaber, but I found it very effective.
It's like poetry, right?
And so, like, yeah, you have this guy with a very checkered past, but has chosen to fight evil, and a guy who is trying to fight evil but has become so he's not doing it for a good reason. He's not actually fighting evil, especially because this guy is not evil anymore. I mean, you can understand why he would hunt this guy down, but the moment he finds him and realize he should be able to, a true Jedi would sense that this guy has changed.
There's some remorse.
And it also feels very political, like this idea of, like, sometimes it's just you look at someone's color, you know, red and blue.
Do you know what else is red and blue?
Republicans and Democrats.
Political party.
And it's like, well, are you looking at the color of the lightsaber or are you looking at the actions and the behavior? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, I really like that message. It's like, I don't love the idea of you need the dark and the light. I don't really agree with that, both in reality and in the fiction of Star Wars. I do think it makes for more compelling fiction, but ultimately I wouldn't agree with that in life. They're in real. So let's say if we use the Force as a metaphor for God, then there is a dark side. And that dark side is not God. The dark side is the opposite of God. And they are at war. And the light side has to and is going to, and it will eventually in our world, extinguish the dark.
But not like a dark side of God.
No, it's the dark side of kind of the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we should not be dipping in the dark at all. You do not need the dark to see the light. I disagree with that. That's not true. The darkness helps us appreciate. Now, in this reality where we currently do have the darkness, it does help us appreciate God's light. But once you are aware of the light, we should not be going back to the dark. We live in the dark and we use the light to help us see out of the dark. But we should in no way be engaging with the dark, knowing full well that it is the dark.
You can't serve two masters.
And it's very possible to be Saying that you're representing the light, but actually operating in the dark, as the Grand Master was here. To say, I mean, he's kind of, it's a very Paul, like at least how Paul was before when he was Saul, of Saul thought he was working for God in hunting it down.
Exceptionally pharisaical.
Yes. When he was hunting down Christians, but then he was blinded. Now this guy sounded like the opposite. Is anti-Paul.
And then immediately murked.
Yep. But yeah, fun short. It kind of starts off slow, but I think the final like act, like the third act of this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just in case this is not clear, these are all like 20-ish minutes, roughly. Next one, The Song of Four Wings. This one is much more like kid anime.
I have a few notes that I took.
Go for it.
You know my Ugh.
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 It is a bit cringy. It's about, I think it looks nice. I think mostly, I don't think there's one I didn't like how it looked personally, other than maybe there was one. I think maybe we talked about
it. I took extreme. So the very short synopsis is a princess turned rebel protects a child from the might of the empire on a snowbound planet.
Yep.
She's pretty young. And there's a very anime mecha-esque scene where her bike helps her like transform into a ship, and we'll get into this. And I really hate it. So when you're animating, you have the choice of where your camera moves.
Yeah, you have complete and utter control over everything that happens.
I legitimately hate that they had the camera move up as she was moving through there, legitimately through her butt cheeks.
Yeah, you can't see her butt cheeks, but like it goes towards her.
It is. There's a very specific, and I hate it so much. It's pretty sus.
And another short does the exact same.
And it's also very clear that she's probably like 13.
Yeah, but she meets a little guy called
Gigorin,
and his name is Whoopass. Whoopass. Now, okay, it's important to know these are all written in Japanese. Like, these all have been dubbed, so sometimes the names don't translate to English very well. He's just a very generic little anime creature. It ends up being very Grogu-coded. He doesn't look like Grogu, but he's a little guy, he can't speak English, and he has the Force. And,
Survival skills of a walnut.
There are... The Imperials have like retrofitted a sand crawler that Jawas ride around into.
That was kind of cool.
I'll call it it's on ice. The snow crawler. It's white and it has kind of additional machinery on it. They're mining
hyperspace fuel.
Yes, coaxium, which is what they're trying to get in the Solo movie. And I thought that looked cool. Some AT-ATs come out from under the ice very, very dramatically. It's pretty fun look. An entire AT-AT gets taken down by a single thermal detonator. Not very canonical, but whatever.
It's not very canonical.
A AT-AT, its insides open up and release a bunch of seismic charges are very iconic from the Obi-Wan Jango Fett space chase from episode 2, the baseline bombs. Now this doesn't make a lot of sense because one of the T's in AT-AT stands for troop. Like they're troop transports. So the body of an AT-AT is meant to hold people.
But instead.
By name. So these aren't meant to be canonical. And these anime is all obviously always about the rule of cool.
These
and it does look
animes.
Really cool. But what I don't think looks very cool and is kind of just lame is that, as you mentioned, the Crane is her name, the princess. Her... speeder bike turns into like an X-wing mech suit, and it looks just kind of dumb. Didn't like how it looks.
It's pretty dumb that because the main thing is like the power halfway goes out through an electrical plug that she can't reach.
Oh yeah,
she's like, my blasters aren't working. It's like it's.
Whoopass uses the Force to plug it in, and they win. Like that's it. Like, it's really simple and. There's not really much She kind of gets over the death of her parents, kind of, through this experience, but...
And there's just a ton of diegetic music that just...
Oh, yeah. The music is weird.
Hold on. I wonder
how... Like, it starts off fine. She's, like, listening to music, and it's not very good, but it's like, okay, this is something a teenager would listen to. But then it turns into non-diegetic, which, if you're not familiar, diegetic is things that the characters can hear. Non-diegetic is stuff that only the audience can hear, so your score of music... The music that is in the actual episode that is non-diegetic is terrible. Yeah, not a fan. They're trying to replicate Nyamos, and they are failing.
I told Cameron, this is the female experience. The music felt like the experience when someone was like, "Oh yeah, I make music." Caleb Jacoby, I'm not talking about you.
No, I'm laughing because I turned on the episode and I skipped to a random part and it's just her saying, "This is awful," which sums up our review.
I should specify that our music producer is a phenomenal musical artist. So you are not included in this. But part of the female experience is sometimes when guys are like, "You should listen to my mixtape," and it's stuff like this. And it's just not very good.
I also just remembered what's really upsetting about Whoop-S is that he's a 3D character with two-dimensional giant eyes.
Yeah.
And it just is really, like, annoying to look at because he is a 3D creation, but his eyes are just PNGs on his head. And, yeah. Also, I'm also realizing...
He doesn't talk, which is very Grogu.
Crane, the princess, her nose is just a dot. But, again, she's three-dimensional, and she has these huge eyes... But she barely has a nose, and it doesn't even, like, cast a shadow. From the side, it looks fine, though. It is literally just, she literally has a what are the people from The Grinch? Is it just the Who's?
The Who's?
Yeah. Just straight up nose.
Not the Who's.
So not a fan, not a huge fan of this episode. The colors are pretty. I think it is very, very well animated in the end. I don't love some of the choices they made, but it's not the worst episode. Maybe it is.
I would say
it's... It actually probably is the worst episode.
Yeah.
No, wait. What was the Bounty Hunters one?
That's number four.
No, I hate the Bounty Hunters one more.
Cameron,
this one's
kind
of boring. The Bounty Hunters one,
I think it's, as I say, I think we got to.
We have one worse one. I do think, I don't know. We have two that I think are pretty good.
This does feel like the first time, though, we've, like, okay, is every episode and every volume a banger? No, it's not. However... There's some where you're like, yeah, that was pretty. These first five, as you'll soon find out, were.
And I don't think we're ragging on people for trying something different.
We are ragging for people.
I think we are annoyed that it's really just they're not doing anything particularly creative. And I know they're short and you don't have a lot to build on and you're doing original characters. But like some of these, I guess what like some of your... fellow creators have come up with incredible stuff. So, like, there is a certain bar. We're not, like, sitting here picking apart lore. It's not like it needs to be this or that. But, like, especially Visions Volume 2 was so good. There was some absolutely incredible bits in there that are similar to these. They're also about young... Like, I'm thinking about the Irish one from Volume 2.
The Irish one!
That was also young kids whose parents were dead and they were riding around on speeder bikes.
I mean, you had, I just have the list, the two sisters who take out the Imperial factory poisoning their water. It was stop motion.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That was fantastic. I mean...
I guess, like, there's always going to be, like, there's characters, there's humor, there's action, there's drama, there's emotion, and there's style. And you need to hit a certain average across all of those. Like, you don't even necessarily need all of those if some are good, but, like... Ultimately, these ones, all of these, is if you don't have any of those, then what have you got? And they're kind of trying to write off a style, but they don't even have that distinct of a style. So the next one is also a continuation, though very barely. The Ninth Jedi, Child of Hope. Can you remind me? Ninth Jedi was just like a bunch of Jedi meet up and they know that one of them is a Sith, but it turns out all of them except for one is a Sith. Am I remembering that correctly?
It's about a young girl who's, they're like not quite moisture farmers, but they're like whatever alternate moisture farmer, is a young girl. And, a group of Jedi show up and it's a trap.
Yeah.
And so I think most of them die except for the three that we see.
I see.
The Empire shows up, kidnaps her dad, and they take the girl with them.
I see. And so this one is them fleeing from some, like, bounty hunters or something. Mm-hmm. She's been training, trying to get better at being a Jedi. She's on the outside of the ship trying to fix something, and they go into hyperspace, and she falls off.
Elfound family.
And she ends up in this giant ship that has, like, ecosystems inside of it.
The architecture of this ship was really confusing me.
I think it's really cool.
It really felt very kind of castle in the sky.
Sure.
That's kind of what it started. Big thing
that has environments inside of it. And there's just a lone little robot who talks in the third person, which I hate. He's kind of likable. You called out who the voice actor was.
I'm so sorry. I did. I called out who it was.
Oh, also, we forgot to talk about voice actors. There was no one I really knew from the duel. Song of Four Wings. Let's see if there's anyone in that real quick. No, I don't recognize any of these people. So the Ninth Jedi, the droid, whose name I've still not said, Tato. Is voiced by Freddie Highmore, who you recognized as, you just called him the autistic doctor.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying he's the good doctor is the name of the show. He's the good doctor,
but the whole thing is that he plays a character who, he himself is not autistic.
Yes.
But he is playing...
this is what we're going to talk about.
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about. So he is playing this, a character who is on the spectrum.
Yes.
And he's a doctor.
In the good doctor.
The good doctor.
No, I'm not calling you out. Not inaccurate.
He himself is not autistic.
Yeah. But it's like a superpower for the character. It's not a particularly accurate representation, or at least accurate.
Don't get me started on just not hiring someone who's autistic and just finding someone who's quirky and can play the part. Anyways.
126 episodes, 7 years of that, from 2017 to 2024.
We will not get on the topic of refusing to hire actors with disabilities. But
anyways, he's also famous. He was Charlie Bucket in the 2005 Tim Burton Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
He just has a very... That's him.
Yeah. You didn't know that? Oh, no. Sorry. I thought that was common knowledge.
He just has a very common inflection in his voice. It's the thing where it's common with TV actors when they get an animation role, they just speak the way they normally do.
Uh-huh.
And so you can go, yeah, that's exactly who that is. But I did clock him because I couldn't remember the name of the show.
And then he also played a young Norman Bates in the Bates Motel, which is like a prequel to the movie Psycho. Like he's the Norman Bates is the killer from the movie Psycho. Spoilers for one of the most famous films ever made. So
shoot, Athena was going to watch that tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
Later, she's horrified.
So we also have who was Ethan? Any idea who that is?
No. Hold on.
Gosh, this is going to be a weird Google search.
Who is... Masioka?
Yeah, no, I know the actor, the characters I'm trying to recognize.
Oh, Ethan is the young boy, dark-haired. He was one of...
With the Jedi. There's the three Jedi.
With the Jedi.
So Masioka is... he was a character named Hiro... from a superhero show called Heroes. That's a show I grew up watching, and he was a lot of fun in that. I wonder... Okay, now, classic. Has he been a Transformer? Let's take a look. Has he ever been a Transformer before? I've got way too many tabs open. I am struggling here. Sorry. Okay, here we go. I hope you guys are enjoying this science silence. No, he's never played a Transformer. And he's never been in another Star Wars thing either.
There is one actor in this episode that's been a Transformer.
Are you serious?
Frank Todaro. Todaro, potentially.
Todaro.
Sorry.
I wish his name was Todaro, but Todaro, it's T-O-D-A-R-O. Has been,
I don't know who he has played, but he has provided voices for the War for Cybertron trilogy, the games. And it looks like also the Netflix show as well.
It looks like he was Starscream.
Combiner Wars as well.
Yeah, he does a lot of Ravage and Starscream. Nice.
Is that, that's just growls.
Yeah.
Athena, I'm going to sign you up.
Yeah, that's funny. That's really funny.
Sign you up for the next Ravage casting, and we're going to make money.
So anyways, this episode is mostly just the young woman that we discussed, and I don't have any character names in front of me. Lei? La? Kara? What's her name?
Also,
La Kara?
Simu Liu is in this episode.
I'm not seeing. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Simu Liu is Shang-Chi from the Marvel mm-hmm. Universe. He's also in the Barbie movie.
And also David Chen, whose name is familiar to me. I do not know why.
And so our main character, Kara, she mostly just spends it hanging out with the young droid, or the little droid. Teto, they're trying to get to Teto's master has been locked away somewhere, like trapped in the ship for a while. And they finally get to him and he's dead. But, you know, it actually kind of is touching moment that Teto is like thankful that he got to finally say goodbye to his master. And then they the bounty hunters who are hunting them find them and they escape. And that's it. Like, there's not really, I would say, anything happens.
It's like, I think it's supposed to be like, oh, look, she's finding her place as a Jedi by helping people, but she...
Oh, that... Congratulations,
see the
kitty.
Way she, you see the way she ran? But
I wouldn't call that running. Well,
look, sometimes you get what you get. She doesn't really... It doesn't really feel like it does much for her other than show that she managed to help someone, and I wouldn't really... All she really did was lift a statue. That's kind of it. So, I don't know. It just kind of ends with her grieving this droid she knew for 20 minutes and being like, I promise I'm going to be the best Jedi ever and still find my dad, who we haven't found. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay. That episode ended very specifically to me like a, oop, banking on a Visions Volume 4.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's four... Kevin, there are 4 years between the first one and this follow-up episode.
Weird. Wait, in real life or in the fiction?
In real life.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because it didn't come out in volume two. It was a volume one episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I've realized I should just start asking ChatGPT to answer these questions of is blank actor in it. It's just so much easier. I'm sorry, I'm going to use... some small villages worth of water to ask these questions. I do think there's some very, very nice environmental animation mm-hmm. in this episode. I think the world of the internal of the ship is a really fascinating concept that's really unique within Star Wars. Also, like, the ship design is really cool, but the characters and everything, I think, fall short. Next episode, The Bounty Hunters. This is definitely the worst episode.
I basically took one note per.
Okay, what's your one note for this one? What do we need to set it up first?
Podcast content. Anna Sawai is just not a strong vocal performance.
Yes. Oh, she is got a podcast-related role. You want to explain that?
So, Anna Sawai, I'm so sorry we dog on you. It no, you're seems not. Every single episode. So if you hear this. Come on an episode and let's
duke it out.
let's actually meet you. I'm sure you're great. But she is the main female lead in Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Yes.
So, over, I mean, if you really want to hear us complain for 10 episodes about the show, you can do that. It's just, it's just not a lot of strong, really acting performances from the main cast, and it's just kind of seems like a repeat. She's just not a strong, it's just not a strong vocal performance, and she's the main character.
Yep. No, I totally agree. So the episode is about this young woman named Sven, S-E-V-N, and her droid, who is a medical droid that she implanted with a assassin droid protocol.
Like a medical droid with an assassin droid protocol.
Yes, and so he has split personality, and they get hired. Their ship gets really banged up on a mission, so they go to get repairs. They get hired by the CEO of a major, like...
philanthropy, quote
unquote. It is a giant like conglomerate. And he's like, I want to hire you on to take care of some insurgents who have been messing with my production. Well, it turns out they're not insurgents. They're actually escaped slaves.
Yeah.
And they managed to convince her, the bounty hunter, to take them back as if she's captured them and then tried to free the other slaves. The CEO man goes crazy. Who is his voice actor? Is he anyone?
Do you remember his name?
I think the character's name is Jin Sim.
Joseph Lee?
Yeah, I think that's probably him. And I don't think I've seen him in anything. He's mostly a television actor. But...
we keep scrolling. Eventually, we'll find someone on order.
He goes mad, goes very anime villain. He kind of has a cool final form. He gets in like he uses a droidica as a mech suit. There's just not much to say here. It kind of just rolls from one scene to the other. I have written down that the first battle, like the initial mission that we see them doing, is pretty okay. But as it goes on, the voice acting is pretty rough. The dialogue is awful. It's trying to have a lot of like quippy banter, but it's really, really cringy. Like as an example of like, so they end up splitting momentarily. The droids. The droid feels underappreciated, and so he leaves, and then he comes back at the last second and saves the main girl, and she's like, took you long enough, and he's like, hey, you should be thanking me, and it's just this, like, what is this? This is, like, written by 7-year-olds.
Another Shang-Chi actor.
Yes, is the voice of the droid. Yeah.
Who's also in Crazy Rich Asians, which I do actually.
Good movie.
It is a good movie. He's also in Mithrigan.
Shout out to listener Megan, who I don't know the last time she actually listened to an episode, but that's okay.
But yeah, I was going to look up.
Oh, he's also, that guy you're talking about is also the voice of Fish in Kung Fu Panda 4, who, if I remember correctly, is a fish that lives inside of the mouth of a bird or something. I don't know. It's been a while. We need to revisit that.
I will say the voice actor of the older sister, Jodie Turner Smith. Oh my gosh! No way. So the voice of the older sister who's trying to free her sister. I thought her voice performance was pretty good. She only had like 6 lines. Jodie Turner Smith is one of the mothers from The Acolyte.
Oh, crazy!
She's the peaceful one.
Oh wow! 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 That's really interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
I thought she sounded familiar. Yeah,
that is interesting. Hmm. She's also in Tron Ares as Athena. There you go. Athena, we didn't even know you were represented in Tron Ares. You know, if I had known your mom wanted to talk about it, we could have set it up. We could have done it when it was new, but now it feels like we really missed our chance.
Cameron, I texted you that we should, that my mom wanted to talk about Tron.
You know what I'm saying? I know that, but it was like, it was after the movie had already come out. Or like right as it was coming out. We didn't have time to like schedule it. Like if I had known like in September, we could have like set it up and scheduled it when and like done it when it was new. I'm just saying.
We'll do it sometime, Mom. I promise.
I don't promise.
I do. I'm co-share. There's a cool thing called streaming.
I'm just saying it's fun to do it when it's like fresh.
There's a cool thing called streaming.
No one's going to want to hear us talk about Tron now that it's gone and dead.
Does anyone really want to hear us talk?
That's also true. Oh, well, that's a really good point.
So therefore, it'll get on. It'll get on something.
So moving on to our last episode, which is arguably the best episode that we saw this season so far.
I agree.
It's definitely like the most like cohesive. Like it feels like it hits everything it's trying to do and it does it well. Yuko's Treasure, which is about a little kid being taken care of a big robot bear who's kind of Totoro-esque. He's big and round and very friendly. He's like a... It's funny. The best moment that was really early on is he has this like plate on his chest. The bear robot. Does he even have a name?
He does.
Sorry, so many tabs. Yuko's Treasure.
Sola? No. Billy.
Billy, right.
It's short.
B-I-L-Y.
Baby, I love you.
Oh.
And Darth Bear is also how it's...
He is in... he's the voice of the dog in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. And he is...
The dog or the... Oh, the dog.
Okay. Yeah, like the little dog. That acts like a cat. And he's also in the What We Do in the Shadows TV show. He does a ton of voice acting. He's in Kung Fu Panda the Dragon Knight, which I don't know really what that is, but some sort of show. So what I was going to say.
We can't forget Steve Buscemi.
Yes, Buscemi.
Who is Starscream. In a Transformers project.
Yeah.
In Transformers 1.
I think ChatGPT would be very useful for just...
So Wikipedia has a lot of hyperlinks to the actors and actresses, yeah, of the voice actors. The only one in the English voice cast is... Steve Buscemi.
That's hysterical.
Everyone else
That's
is,
so funny. So
I guess
Buscemi,
relatively unknown.
Very famous actor, been in a ton of stuff. Little Rat Man, we love him.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yes. He was Starscream in Transformers 1.
Another Little Rat Man.
And he's done other Transformers as well. Let me, now my new best friend, ChatGPT, can tell me quickly.
I'm telling your wife.
I can never remember how to spell his name.
Buscemi with a C. He was in The Last Night. It was the junk guy in Last
Night. Yeah, ChatGPT only has Transformers 1. It doesn't include.
Let's go
other
to
ones, so ChatGPT, you failed me. You dropped the ball.
Let's see what TF Wiki says. We can always trust.
Also
TF
important Wiki. To note that he's also the voice of Randall in Monsters, Inc.
He's also in Spy Kids 2.
So anyways, he's the villain. But what I was going to say about Billy the robot was it's not even clear that he's a robot. He's a big bear-looking thing, and he's got this plate on his chest that looks like it's either some sort of armor or like a mechanical thing, or like how Darth Vader has that, like, you know, light bright on his chest
breathing apparatus.
You don't know what he is, and then he just opens it up and like puts a chicken in. It's a freaking microwave in his chest, and it's just a shocking thing to see immediately. But
I was too busy looking at how the environment actually looked like
beautiful.
A Star Wars environment.
Beautifully animated.
The other episodes, they didn't feel... Look, Star Wars architecture varies. But there's a very specific look. If you can nail it down, you can make anything look like Star Wars. And I think most of the backgrounds for this episode, just for this block of episodes so far, just haven't.
Uh-huh.
They have lightsabers in them. That's pretty much
it.
But the little kid named Yuko, who I think we both thought was a little girl, has like pink hair.
Yuko is not a little girl, we found out.
It was very shocking to learn. And
Yuko is the child of two bounty hunters?
Well, it's unclear
potentially
exactly what they're
space pirates.
Yes.
Smugglers.
But was also like helping people or something? I don't know.
Sometimes
I forgot
when
already.
You help people, you get called the villain.
Yeah. But some bounty hunters have heard about this. They have a treasure hidden. So they're looking for it, and they hire a local little boy to kind of scope it out.
They're on Tatooine, FYI.
Oh, yeah. We see Mos Eisley. And a little boy named
Sola
tracks Billy and Yuko back to their house. The bounty hunters kidnap Yuko,
Billy.
Right? No. They take Billy with them, reprogram Billy to help them.
He's listed as Darth Bear.
Oh, yeah, nice. Sola ends up feeling bad for Yuko and decides to help him. They go together. They have to fight Billy. It's just like a helmet that's actually on him that's reprogramming him. They just knock it off. Oh, and then during all this, they also everyone's getting chased by presumably a crate dragon.
So funny. I'm not gonna lie. I was cracking up this episode.
And they all the villains fall down into a big pit and
die presumably.
Then the treasure, what is supposed to be where the treasure is, actually like just kind of a garage full of like hologram like memories.
They go really deep into Tatooine to the level that crate dragons exist.
Yeah,
and then continue to go down a floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a garage. It's like where they lived, basically.
Yeah. And there's their home. Yeah, and there's
also,
like, instead of having like photos or like home videos sitting around, there's just like these holograms that activate their like memories.
It's kind of like Ezra with his parents.
Yeah, very much so.
And it's also Yuko's birthday. Yuko's probably what, 3? We'll give him 6.
And there's a treasure. Sorry, it's not a treasure. There's a ship that they get in, and they fly off, and that's the ending.
They also adopt Sola because
Sola goes to leave and like sulks. He's like, oh, I guess I don't want you. And Yuko's like, come on, you're part of the family now. We're not selling this. We're making it sound like we hate it.
I really enjoyed it.
I think it is enjoyable in the moment.
I think it is sweet
and touching. I don't like the villain's name is Fox Ear. He's like this like.
He almost looks like like an Egyptian jackal.
Yes, the like guardians of the underworld, sort of like jackal people.
Steve Buscemi fur.
I
confirmed.
I don't think that really fits the world. I also.
He's almost kind of like a Jawed character in a way.
Very much so, yes. I guess this episode doesn't have a very strong sense of style, but it is nice.
It felt fairly cohesive.
Yeah.
I mean, the stakes were kind of low.
The animation was consistent, at least.
It did.
For the most part.
It did kind of break my heart a little when Billy is going Darth Bear.
Yes.
And Yuko is crying for him because Yuko, that's the only family he has. That's kind of starting to get to me.
Ultimately, though, enjoyed it.
It was sweet. Out of the 5 we watched, it's the top for me.
I think I'd be more likely to, if I was going to rewatch one, I think the Duel Payback, because it has really great action. I like the characters in that one, and I think it has a really strong point to it. This one, though, is definitely is a fairly decent close second.
I feel like your wife would like number 5.
Yes, 100%.
I think mine is like 5-1. So you have like 5-1, and then like 6 feet under, you have the other 3 episodes that we watched of 3-2-4.
So I hope we only have good things ahead.
I'm really hoping, because we do have a sequel to The Village Bride,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the next episode.
Might need to rewatch that before.
I am really hoping the sequel is good, because The Village Bride is probably my top out of all of them.
Sounds good.
Every single one of them, Cameron.
Cool. Anything to say before we go to Meme Minute?
I do have a note that said episode. Episode 2 might be at the bottom of my visions list entirely.
Oh, that... Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
I would actually, know. I think, like to go and rank all 27 episodes after this.
Okay, meme minute, but it's longer than a minute.
I actually have memes, Cameron.
So do
memes.
I!
I have 4 images and 3 links to social media platforms. Videos.
Okay, give me your first one.
You have to watch it. You can't just listen to it, Cameron. Okay.
There's a clip from Smiling Friends.
No, wait.
Oh, it's going to be a different one. That's the clip of Transformers.
Oh, it didn't. Hold on.
So this is when Ironhide dies.
Yo, guys, it's Charlie. Hey, did that guy just drop the sand?
Nice. So it still ended up being Smiling Friends. I don't know why I'm surprised. So there's this meme from, what's that character's name from Charlie. Smiling Friends? Charlie walks in
it's
and...
from the newest. It's,
hi, I'm Charlie. Did that guy just turn into sand? The people have been putting him on top of... Is that from the show?
It's from the most recent season, yeah. Season 3.
And so Ironhide, like, melted after he got shot by Sentinel Prime. That's good.
I think the funny thing is that they could have edited that little clip just over the scene of him melting, but they waited for the scene after.
When people are running in. Yeah, that's good. It's really well done. So obligatory, not a meme, but this is just a clip. So I did not know this existed. I'm going to show it to you so we can get a live Rachel reaction. This is a real screen test for the Phantom Menace. The music is not. The music is added. That's kind of the meme.
You're not the first person to send this to me.
Oh, yeah?
Straight. You're not the first person to send that to me.
So the music is really funny. So what we're seeing is they experimented, according to this video, I've never seen this before, so I don't actually know this to be true.
Who else sent this to me?
But supposedly they played around with a puppet for Jar Jar Binks. And this is just a shot of him. It says early Jar Jar Binks video test. He's in the back of a truck just driving to the countryside, and he's just bobbing up and down the puppet.
It's a physics test, Cameron.
It's so funny. It's so funny. With the music, I just think this is hilarious. It's very visual, but if they...
What is meme minute if not? You're,
if they
you're
did indeed
it.
Consider using this puppet as Jar Jar Binks, that's hysterical. But also with the music of him just looking around, bobbing up and down the back of the truck, it's so good. Honestly, I would have taken this over the CGI one, but anyways. What else you got?
So this is an image of... it's from Attack of the Clones where... It's just still image where someone has put like a tweet over it and someone's reading it. Of George Lucas speaking to... who played Count Dooku?
Christopher Lee.
I have to go to the ad so you can...
Hold a lightsaber like this, and then you're gonna sort of strike it.
Have you ever killed a man, George?
Classic. Because famously, Christopher Lee was like in World War I. So good. Another obligatory, not really a meme, but Halloween was this last week, and this is, I think you're gonna really appreciate this costume. This is what I did for Halloween this year, is what it says. So it is a woman in a wheelchair who has a amputated leg, but like it's past the knee, like down.
They're both amputated, actually.
Oh, are they really? I didn't catch that.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they are. No, you're right. But one leg is amputated below the knee, so she has a bit of a nub, and she's painted her leg as a T-Rex, and she's dressed up as Alan Grant.
I love that.
And there's also a great moment where she's like eating out of someone's cup with the T-Rex.
Something so tells cute. Me Jurassic Park probably isn't very accessible.
More like accessibility lawsuit park, if am I right? Anyways, what else you got?
Everyone has access to get eaten by a dinosaur.
Equal opportunity muncher.
Okay, I just need you to watch this. So this is a clip from what I think is the Skywalker Saga Lego game.
Okay.
And it's It's one of the clips from Battlefront 2 with Tamara Morrison about Geonosis.
Oh, funny.
I just want you to look at the physics that they put on the Lego bodies, and I'll hold it close for you. My first day as a member of the 501st was
hard. Incredible.
That's the way it was for all of us, wasn't it? All that breeding, all those years of training.
So I'm guessing this is a mod. I don't think this is an actual game, because the Lego Star Wars game is not in first person. This is in first person.
Hey, but is Skywalker... Megan, is Skywalker Saga?
I think someone modded a Battlefront, like the newest Battlefront game, maybe, to have Lego characters. And what we're seeing is the body of a Lego clone with no legs and no arms is rolling down a hill.
But it's not rolling like a Lego body.
It's like pivoting.
Its body has movement.
Of course, you have the like scarred and traumatized voice of Tamara Morrison as a clone talking about the Battle of Geonosis.
I saw this while I was at work, and I was crying.
It's really funny.
Watch, because there's just such an uncanny level of fluidity. Uh-huh.
This one is an actual meme. You've got R2 and now I totally forget his name. The droid from Rebels.
Chopper.
Above R2, they both say the same thing, but you have to kind of read them differently. Above R2, it says, "Droid that helps blind children." And above Chopper, it's "Droid that helps blind children." And the song that is on it is Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads.
I think one of my favorite Star Wars memes ever is when The Force Awakens came out, and there's a picture of the red carpet event where they had the little B2. Who's the little round guy?
Now you're making me forget, because... wow, BB-8.
BB-8. There's a lot of B insert numbers and letters here. I was thinking it's not...
Sure, that's fair.
Anyways, of BB-8, and in the background, there's R2-D2, and it says the house cat when you get a new kitten, because he's just in the background. Anyways,
cute.
So this is the very popular meme format of the guy standing in pajamas, and then another photo where he's in a tux suit, and it's captioned, "My aunt's wedding..." I didn't caption this, but "My aunt's wedding in pajamas, Godzilla minus zero in the suit."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very, yep. Very accurate. Mm-hmm. That's going to be me.
Obligatory, not a meme, but this is kind of a follow-up from a previous thing that I had. It's a screenshot from social media. Someone posted in a Godzilla group, which I'm not a part of, by the way. It just... Facebook will just show you posts from groups that open groups that it thinks that you might like. I don't know why.
I get weird. I get weird Department of Transportation from various states.
Censor that. That Athena, she doxed us.
I'm sorry.
What's the time code on that?
I do get various states Department of Transportation. Unfortunately, all of my Facebook right now is State Patrol pit maneuvers.
It has tried to auto-correct what you said. I'm not even going to say it. Anyways, if I say it, it gives away. I'll tell you later. So I had previously shared a very well-made but also questionable in its why you do it in the first place costume. It was kind of a sexy King Ghidorah costume. Well, they turned around and did a sexy Mothra costume as well. And, again, very well-made costume, but why... It's also a very,
that's
like...
That's implying Mothra's not sexy already. I'm kidding.
Gee, wow. Put that on the year-end episode.
I'm kidding.
So there's your sexy Mothra. That's all my memes.
Well, okay. So I have an image. This is a screenshot of a tweet. Not Twitter. It's still Twitter in my heart. I usually kill the DoorDash guy after he brings me my food. He served his purpose in life, and they put it next to a picture of Saw Gerrera. I am going to show a video that someone else sent me, because I have a lot of friends on Instagram that send me brain rot. I don't know if I might have sent this to you or the podcast episode. Look at this kid's costume. It's a
very good gunk droid
with
He has a little slit that opens up in the front to take candy. Man, that is a really good costume.
I also think it's really funny because...
Walking way too fast. Gongs cannot walk that fast.
I think it's also funny because his parents are dressed in normal costumes, just with Mandalorian helmets.
Oh.
But and some other kid came up and hugged him, which is just so cute. I should do that for my costume next year.
Man, I'm trying to think if I saw any fun... Star Wars. I did not.
I have two more images.
Oh, please keep going.
Be sure to check your kids' Halloween candy. I found this 120-meter demon crab in these Kit Kat bars, and it's Destroya from Godzilla. We haven't unlocked him yet in American Godzilla films. Okay, so important context. So this is a comic that I definitely stole from some dinosaur group on Facebook that I'm not in. I just saw it, thought it was funny, and snagged it. So it's two Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it says, "Oh, I love PSL season." And the other Tyrannosaurus Rex says, "Pumpkin spice lattes," and it zones out to Parasaurolophus, which is Parasaurolophus.
You know, I never thought that we needed to make a rule to not have any Facebook mom level jokes on here, but.
I just thought it was funny because it pans out and there's Parasaurolophus in the background.
Uh-huh. Do you want to further try to keep explaining the joke, hoping it'll somehow make it funny?
You know what? It is funny. It's funny for those of us who have a mature sense of humor on the podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. I wonder if there's anything else I say to you.
Does Athena help blind children or help blind children?
In the background.
I can't. You're not. You make a better door than a window.
She's just so flat right back there. I'll show you that a later time.
Flat kitty.
Cameron, I have such. Oh my gosh. You showed me that video of Jar Jar. You sent it to me.
Oh, nice. Who doesn't look at their messages now?
I reacted to it.
Oh, shoot.
I just forgot. I think that's all I got. That's all I got.
Oh, shoot. We missed a big one. Wow. So, one of the Jedi in the Star Wars Visions Ninth Jedi Child of Hope, the actor's name is Andrew Kishino. He's the voice, the original voice of Saw Gerrera.
No way.
He did it in Clone Wars and Bad Batch.
Young Gerrera.
As young as he ever was, at least. He's also in Ghost of Yotai? Yoti? That new video
game?
Oh,
yeah, Yotai. I was born hating the Empire.
He also was the voice of Hawkeye in Marvel Rival. That's interesting.
Hmm.
He's also in Young Jedi Adventures. That's interesting.
Huh, what a range.
Yeah.
Do you think he's also Saw Gerrera in Young Jedi
Adventures?
No, he's
not. He's got a different character name.
Aw, what a missed opportunity.
He's just credited in Jedi Fallen Order as acting talent. What an interesting character name.
Dang.
He's also in Rebels. Two episodes. Captain Hark and Stormtrooper number one.
He's not Saw Gerrera?
No. Because that was actually Forrest Whitaker in that one. Wow, so he's just done a ton of Star Wars acting. That's cool.
Oh, I got a good meme that I sent the podcast. It says, you tell the genie you wish Godzilla was real, but you didn't specify which version.
Oh, yeah, I saw this today.
Wish Godzilla was real. Wish granted.
Things get very purple, and you should know exactly what's going on.
It's Shin Godzilla.
It's Shin Godzilla just like setting the city on fire.
And I just really got a kick out of the ending.
You know, we never talked about when he's doing that laser beam, how he just like jerks his head left. It's like it's not like a gradual; it just goes just across the city.
You know, the almost identical. That's what he's doing on the steel book, the laser beam that, you know, he does, and you're like, oh my god.
The voice actor we were just talking about, Andrew Kishino, who was the voice of Saw Gerrera, he was also the voice of Jazz in some Transformers video games. And that's where we'll wrap up for the day. Thank you.
My favorite character and one of my least favorite characters in the same performance. Bummer.
As always, thank you to Caleb Jacoby for intro and outro music. Props to Rachel for just being so good at explaining jokes. Just being just being so good at making sure I understand why a joke is funny. Good job. Props to you for that. Shout out to... She's giving me this look. Shout out to Athena for editing the pod. Remember to hit publish this time. Jeez.
You woke her up.
Did she hear me say her name?
She.
Let us know how you feel about the representation of Athena in Tron Ares. If you're one of the three people who went and saw it.
Two of them were probably my parents.
Is Jared Leto podcast content? I know you liked 30 Seconds to Mars, right? I'm not trying to call you out.
So here's the
thing. I say that with no judgment.
Like, yes, when I don't remember it's Jared Leto.
Separate the art from the
asshole. Separate the art from the...
We've really rattled on here at the end.
End it there.
Things not to say if you're a therapist.